Welcome. Jump into the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast, where leading with love isn't just nice, it's genius. I'm Laurel Donnellan.
And I'm Daryl Brown. We'll unpack business strategies infused with empathy and action, driving both profit and purpose. Our world is ever-changing, so discover how the savvy leader wears compassion as their power suit.
It is my great honor to introduce my podcast partner and dear friend, Daryl Brown, who's with me today, and our guest, Riley McCormick, who is the president and CEO of Digimark. Welcome, both of you, to the CLC podcast.
Thanks, Laurel. Great to be here.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
Daryl and I are not technologists and we're not scientists, but we're very curious. So we're excited to learn some things from you today. So we're going to start with you, Riley. And I would love to know what your company does.
Sure. So
as a place to start.
Sure. So Digimark helps companies evolve in their digital transformation journey. A lot of times as companies are progressing in their digital transformation journey, they need to either identify or authenticate physical products or digital assets. This is what we excel at doing, oftentimes at scale, at a massive scale, and oftentimes where other means of identification or authentication don't work well or don't work at all.
And it's my understanding that the company was founded to protect artistic rights, which I think is so important in this digital age that we're dealing with. Could you tell us about the founding of the company and where you started?
Sure. Yeah, and absolutely. And it speaks to the old adage of what's old is new again. So the company was founded almost 30 years ago by a brilliant and wonderful human being named Jeff Rhodes. He was a photographer as well as a scientist. And he realized that as he started posting his photographs on this brand new thing called the WWW, how would he get attribution? How would people know those were his photographs? So he invented a science called digital watermarking, which is core to everything that we do, which is a covert way of identifying an item, giving it an identity, putting information into it. And so he developed this basically to safeguard his and other photographs online. And the reason I say what's old is new again is one of our products today does the exact same thing, because these issues are becoming top of mind again because of generative AI, because of the intellectual property protection issues that Gen AI brings up, as well as the deepfake issues.
So here we are 30 years later, and you're running this amazing company with 230 people so far. I'm very curious about your culture and And one of the things I found out in my research is that your core values as a company include collaborative, curious, and courageous. Could you tell us about your culture and those values and how they apply to someone's everyday at your company?
Yeah, well, I think as part of that, even how we arrived at those values, I think is interesting because when I first started, we had a different set of corporate cultures. It was the acronym was ICLICK, so ICLICK. And underneath all of those were various other things. So it was probably 50, 60 core values. I don't think that's possible. I think a company can do a couple of things that really speaks to who that company is. And so this is something that we wanted to involve the whole company in the journey of who are we? Who are we and who do we want to make sure that we may remain? So we actually started with an exercise where we were thinking about the people at Digimark that we really thought embodied our core values. Who are the people that we were just excited to be teamed up with? And we did a word cloud exercise. What are the core things? Maybe we're using different terms for the same idea of courageous or different terms for the same idea of collaborative. Could we narrow it down to a couple that were really spoke to who we are? And then we took out that short list and involved the whole company. To say, is this who we are? You know, one of the opportunities that came with my joining the company was we got to reimagine everything. I think the most important thing to start to reimagine is who are you? Like, we knew what our technology was. We knew what we were good at. But who are we as a company? So that's how we arrived on those three. And they all mean a lot of things to us. I mean, courageous is having the confidence, the knowledge that it's not just our right, it is our responsibility to hold each other accountable to delivering what we're saying, what we're going to deliver, that we're doing the right thing by all of our stakeholders, not just our shareholders. Collaborative, I think that's one's probably the most obvious, but it comes in a lot of different ways. Do we work well together? Do we work well with our partners? Do we work well with our customers? Do we work well with all of our stakeholders? And are we invested in realizing the best way to go fast is to move as a team, right? I think of the rowing analogy. You can go a certain speed in a rowboat. You can go a faster if you have two people in that boat, four people, eight people. And then curious is one of the most amazing things about this company. The reason that we are the pioneer and global leader in this amazing science called digital watermarking. This is a company where I think everybody here asks why a couple times a day, at least, and really trying to understand one, because it makes it easier for everybody to row in that boat, that 230 person boat. If everybody knows why we're doing something, everybody can be in lockstep as the oars are hitting the water, but also because there's always going to be better ways to do things. And so if we ask why, maybe there is something that, yeah, you're right, this doesn't make sense. Maybe let's try something else.
Coincidentally, when I was doing this research, we've done some research ourselves about leadership and leadership attributes. And I worked with other scholars who study compassionate leadership, and we ended up with 7 core attributes, and 3 of those are collaborative, curious, and courageous. We also include compassionate, confident, contemplative, and civil. But I like 3 seems good. Like you can really remember them and hold them and follow them. So I think what you've done going from 50 to 3 sounds very smart and wise. Another thing that I heard or read was your mission is to use your product suite to promote a prosperous, safer, and more sustainable world. I love that. Could you tell us more about what that means to you?
Sure. So one of the incredible things about our core fundamental differentiating technology, digital watermarking, is it can do almost everything. There are so many things it can do. So how do we prioritize what we want to do? And one of, if I can take a quick step back, I think one of the core tenets we believe here is very rarely is it an or statement, it's an and statement. And so instead of going back again to making the decisions that can make all stakeholders agree it's the right decision, even if they're approaching the outcome of that decision from a different perspective, focusing on making the world more prosperous or making the world safer or making the world more sustainable. It is wonderful at a company where that's a mission-driven company. It is important to a lot of the people who work here. But for the most, again, dollar and cent focused investor who's just looking at the bottom line, the great thing about those big problems, they normally have a big budget associated next to them. And in addition to having a big budget, the reason they're a big problem is because they haven't been solved yet. So by focusing on things that gives us enjoyment as a team to go fix, because we're humans and we want to fix these things, there's also business reason to do it, candidly, because these are big problems. You know, sustainability, we're all on this single globe. There's only one of them. There is a lot of money to be had for a company that can come up with an issue to help with sustainability. And the fact that we're still talking about sustainability, the fact that it hasn't been solved, means that the technology to exist hasn't been applied yet. So it's a business opportunity as well as a mission opportunity. And that's what I mean by and versus or. We're not deciding what's best for the bottom line or what's best for our mission. A lot of times you can say and, it's both.
Thank you so much. I'm going to pass the baton now to Daryl, who's going to talk to you more about what you actually do as a company and what you're looking forward to in the future. So Daryl, Riley is all yours.
Thank you. Riley, I'm fascinated by what you're instilling in the 230 people who work there. I work with my university and trying to turn a culture around and get everybody rowing, putting their oars in the water at the same time. I used to be a basketball player, so I know that passing the ball up court is a lot faster than one person dribbling the ball up court. So the team moves a lot faster. But how do you get people to say, I'm with you? and to do that day in and day out. Because that's really, for me, that's the key to leadership.
Yeah. So I do want to correct one thing you said. I don't think I changed the culture. I focused the definition of what our culture is. It was always there. If you go back to how we did our culture refresh, it was looking at the people at this company and the people that were the brightest stars and what did they represent. So I went, the curious, collaborative, courageous culture that was here has been here since Jeff Rhodes founded this company. So fully blessed. It's just a, how we define it. But to your second question, it's a great question. And this, again, goes back to the and versus or. If you want to get people engaged, if you want to attract the best talent and keep them engaged, number one, give them cool things to do. And in it, for a tech company, that normally means give them cool tech to play with. Number two, give them the knowledge that they're applying that technology to something that could truly change the world. Number three, surround them by smart, good human beings. And then number four, this is the one that's the most obvious, even though it probably requires the most definition, just simply recognize that they're human. If you can accomplish those four things, you'd be amazed at the talent that you can attract and the amount of effort they'll put in to their job. What's wonderful about Digimarc, those first two, the give them cool tech and give them the knowledge that they're applying that tech to do something positive for the planet. Companies either have that or they don't, just based on what they're doing. We have both of those in abundance. The second two, the surround them by good, smart people and recognize they're human, just simply recognize that everybody here is actually a human being and not lines of code. That's more of a purposeful effort. It's culture driven. It's simply self-awareness, the company. So I think if any company can do those four things, they have a great opportunity to move forward.
So I heard you say another thing that really interests me, and that's the courage to ask why and to continue to ask why. It is so integral to growth and togetherness, but how do you instill the courage and constantly say, I need for you to ask why? That's how we're going to grow.
By asking why myself all the time, probably to the point of annoyance. By recognizing that failure is okay. You know, there's a saying that if you've never missed a flight, you spent too much time at the airport. I think it's the same thing with companies. If we're not making mistakes, we're not moving fast enough, we're not trying enough new things. They're pivoting a company from a fear-based culture. You know, fear-based cultures where people aren't asking why, you get up, you move slowly. It's very consensus because nobody wants to be the person that is pointed to when something goes wrong. If you encourage the why by leading by asking why, you know, saying recognizing this isn't working, right? I had this great idea. I've realized now it's not a great idea. Why isn't it working and what could we be doing better? I think so much of it is just, if you start with the premise that everybody at this company, which I can speak for Digimarc is absolutely true, is extremely smart and an adult, do what you say. If I'm asking people to question and ask why, I should be asking why all the time. My executive team should be asking why. Everybody should.
So one of the other things that I'm hearing from you is that you see the humanity in everyone who works there. It's important to you. Tell me what you think that does for everyone, not just to be courageous, but to stay together in moving the company forward.
I think it's huge. I think it's one of these things where everything we have accomplished today is a result of one single input, the team. Everything we'll accomplish 2 years from now is a result of the team who's here today. Everything we'll accomplish 5 years from now is a result of the team that's here in 2 years. Picking up lead times. Our people are our single biggest asset. A lot of times companies treat people as liabilities. It just makes no sense, right? So recognizing people are human, what does that mean? It means that I'm going to have a good day someday, and I'm going to have a bad day. I'm going to be celebrating the birth of a nephew. I'm going to be mourning the loss of an aunt. I'm going to be looking forward to a vacation. I'm going to be off the heels of the flu and still not quite there mentally. That everybody at this company has personal and career goals. They have aspirations. They want to be recognized when they do a good job. They want to learn how they could be doing better. It's just so basic, but that's what I was saying, if you give those people those four things, you're going to attract incredible talent. They're going to work hard. It's that last piece, just recognizing that they're human beings, that everybody's a human being. It sounds so silly. It's so basic. It's recognizing an obvious reality, but not every company does it. I think that's a huge edge we have. And again, it's not just me doing this. I want to be very clear, right? It's everybody doing this. It's when 230 people are surrounded by people that they think are smart, they think are good human beings, and understand that we're all human, things just get done faster. Things get done better. Things get done, sometimes there are going to be times where people have to work that extra amount of time to get something done. But if you're doing it in a cause you believe and surrounded by people who believe the same thing, tends to get done better and faster.
So where does intercompany competition, that individual thing that always happens inside of company, where does the competitive nature that everyone has, where does that go in your company?
What do you mean? You mean competition like political competition, or you mean competition like I want to outperform?
Performance competition.
I think if you, it's healthy, it's wonderful, right? I think it's a natural, it's what we want. The people, there is career advancement, there is recognition at the company level. Competition is absolutely wonderful because guess what? There might be some internal competition, but there's also where 230 people competing against 8 billion other people. So we want that competitive mindset. It's a destructive competition that we keep a close eye on. Trying your best because you just want to do great, wonderful. Trying your best by in some way sabotaging or withholding information from somebody else, that's where companies fail. And so that's why I was asking, there's good competition and there's bad competition. I don't even view good competition as competition. You select the right people to be in your boat. They're not competing against each other. They're competing against themselves, and they're working for the betterment of the overall company. I think a lot about sports teams. You mentioned you're a basketball player. Are two people competing to be the point guard, or are they just doing their best because they want to be on a winning team?
Well, yeah, it always helps to know what the plays are, right? So you seem to have instilled in them that here's the playbook, right? That's a great way to drive any set of people. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
What would you like the world to know about how to get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, our website, going back to the www that was the genesis or the origin story of Digimarc, www.digimarc.com has everything about our company. So I always encourage people to start there. It's digimarc.com.
Excellent. Thanks. I appreciate you.
Fantastic, Daryl. I appreciate you too.
Daryl and Riley, it's been such a joy to be with you both. And Riley, we help people find lovable work, but we also help companies create work that's lovable. And it sounds like you're doing that in spades. So congratulations. We're happy to have you as part of our circle, and we look forward to continuing the conversation.
Well, I really enjoyed today, Laurel and Daryl. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Take care.
And that's a heart-wrapped episode of the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast. May your compass always point to kindness.
As you navigate the world, let compassion be your North Star. Join us next time as we continue to redefine success one heart-led decision at a time.
Lead wisely, lead with heart. You can learn more about us at CompassionateLeadersCircle.com.